actually, that was, I'm glad you asked, because that was a miscommunication. It was not either Heather's fault or our fault. Heather was speaking to a Spanish-speaking resident who actually speaks very good English, but
Heather was trying out her Spanish?
There was, the communication was not very good. What is happening is that there's a meeting of the board of Clearview Court, which any resident is free to attend, by the way. They're held every Monday at, I think it's 5:45, at the president of the association's home, Jim Conway, and they're going to decide whether or not to accept this 60-day negotiation period, which it seems to me is...
So they're not giving the membership an opportunity to vote on it?
Well, there's not really any... Yes, anybody that wants to can attend the board of directors meeting.
They can attend, but the board of directors will make the choice?
Well, after everybody in the room decides, yes. If it's just the board that attends, if it's the seven members of the board, and if that's the only people that are there...
So they're saying that whoever attends that meeting...
Has a vote.
So it's not just they can talk at City Council, and then the City Council decides, they can talk at the Board of Directors, and the Board of Directors decides. It's going to be everybody who shows up will be able to vote.
Right.
Well, that sounds... Then maybe she didn't give misinformation, because she said, in essence, there'll be a meeting, and though it's of the Board of Directors, it's of the Board of Directors to allow for a general vote if people want to do that, or if they want to leave it up to the Board of Directors, I guess they can.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, so that's good to clarify. Well, I appreciate your calling, Jean. Call
again.
Have a
nice Sunday.
What's that?
Have a nice Sunday.
Hey, and if you hear anything that sounds misleading, false, slanderous, or particularly good, give a call back.
I will.
All right.
See you later, Jeff.
See you, Jean. Thanks a lot for calling in.
Okay, goodbye.
Bye-bye. And phone lines are open, 427-3772, in case you've been waiting for an opportunity to get in. We encourage particularly Clearview Court residents to call in, but anybody is welcome to. We have a caller. Hi there, caller.
Hey, Robert. How's it going?
Good. Who's this?
This is Skidmark.
Hey there, Skidmark, the notorious former Cop Watch Bob, also the mainstay of Free Radio Santa Cruz, or one of them, anyway.
The what?
The guy who comes in and fixes all the equipment.
Oh, that guy. Yeah, that'd be me. I'm calling about something sort of related to what you're talking about, the school situation that's going on in town.
Okay.
I know probably a lot of your listeners know, or maybe people might not know, but a month ago, the Santa Cruz City Board of Schools, school board, decided to close two elementary schools, one being Branch of 40, which is primarily Latino kids from the Beach Flats. And the other one is, Natural Bridges School on the west side.
Uh-huh.
And they already decided to do this a month ago. And there's no really stopping it. They're saying there's a budget crisis, blah, blah, blah.
You can't stop it with an initiative or something? Or?
Well, a lot of parents have been trying to. Actually, last Wednesday there was a meeting just on the that wonderful beach property that Natural Bridges is on that people want so bad. And the school board decided to go ahead and rent it out to a charter school, which is supposedly a public charter school, which is they choose all the students from lottery, and, you know, it's more of a private school, and they're going to be renting it out to that. So all the kids at the public school kids from the Natural Bridges School are going to have to be bused and shipped over to the east side now. There's only two schools available, which is Galt School and De La Viega School, as well as the kids from Branch of 40 are going to have to hike extra long because all the kids end up, you know, I don't know if anybody notices in the morning, but there's a huge number of kids that walk from the Beach Flats to Branch of 40, which is fairly far already, but there's no busing system. They cut the busing system. They've cut school staff way back, and so I have no idea what's going on. It just seems really, really screwed up at this point. There's a lot of weird, shady things going on. There was a meeting with Scott Kennedy, your favorite and mine, that folks from
Mayor
Natural
Kennedy.
Bridges, Mayor's Kennedy, that's right.
Yeah.
Mayor Kennedy. And they sat down with some of the Natural Bridges school parents, and basically all Kennedy said was, We don't step on their toes. We take care of our business. They take care of their business. Basically, just throwing his hands up, washing his hands like Pilate did a long time ago in the whole system. So he wasn't going to, he's not any help at all, even though these parents went out of their way to have a meeting with him and talk to him about it.
Now, Scott Kennedy does have office hours, 2 to 4 every Thursday, or sorry, every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, if you want to go in there perhaps and do a little, play a song or two for him, Skidmore.
Oh, yeah, something like that, yeah. As soon as I, you know, learn how to play again.
Mm.
But basically, the Sentinel printed a small story about it on Friday, which did not even cover what happened at the meeting. There was a big meeting. It was standing room only on Wednesday night. Parents crying, parents.
I have a story here. Pacific Collegiate Rental approved by Santa Cruz Schools by David Schwarfenberg.
Yeah.
As expected, Santa Cruz City School Board of Education has approved plans to rent Natural Bridges Elementary School to Pacific Collegiate School. Board signed off on the plan Wednesday night, 4 weeks after it voted to shutter Natural Bridges and Branch Safford in a cost-cutting move. Pacific Collegiate, a high-achieving 7th through 12th grade charter school, has been a lightning rod for criticism since it opened 5 years ago. Detractors have labeled the school an elitist institution that caters to the white and affluent. Defenders point out it's a public school open to all with admission determined by a lottery. Pacific Collegiate Principal Jan Keating welcomed the board's 5-2 vote. School is currently spread out over 3 locations. Negotiations, anyway, it's all about Pacific Collegiate and not really about what's happening with the other school.
Not even about the meeting where there was standing room only and parents and kids, you know, crying and having these really articulate, you know, angry and sad speeches.
So the Latino people from Clearview Court are crying at City Council on Tuesday, and the parents are crying. You know, it's time that perhaps be people kind of get your tears together and get your shit together and get together. People are trying to organize too, I guess, huh?
Yeah, along with the Branch of 40 School, which is interesting, is like they're saying there's not much activity around that. Well, the problem with that is that I would say 75% of the kids there are from the beach flats, and they come from Latino families who some of them may be...
Wait a minute. They have a wonderful new project, Nueva Vista Project, that's been put in by Councilmember Fitzmaurice at a cost of $15 million. And though, of course, the original community was dispersed, the Dolphin Lee people. You've got all those wonderful... sorry, just my little addition.
Right.
Yeah.
Why don't you add the police station that cost? What was it in the...
$6 or $7 million cost overrun that Dick Wilson insisted was not a cost overrun, but an adjustment.
Adjustment.
It was an adjustment, yeah.
When they hired that shady contractor that fucked up the windows. And other things, yes.
Yeah, I mean, this year the police department budget is the only budget that I'm aware of that has risen in the city.
Oh, that's nice.
It's actually, I mean, they claim, well, we've phased out 10 positions, but it's still rising. You know, they're still paying more and more for this sort of bottomless police budget.
Well, they're going to have to pay more and more for prisons now, too, because a lot of these kids aren't going to get education like they should. I mean, the education is pretty low as it is. There's good schools in Santa Cruz. My kid goes to Branch 40, which he's going to have to now go out elsewhere. And the whole weird fight over that whole thing is like galled against Branch 40, where a lot of the parents who I said were Latino, a lot of them are immigrants, a lot of them may be illegal, and so they don't want to speak out all the time. I went to a meeting at Branch 40 with the principal where I was the minority, basically. I had to have an interpreter there where people were talking about what was going on. They're upset that a lot of them paid a lot of money that they didn't have. They raised thousands of dollars, and all that money's just gone now.
What did they raise the money for?
To keep the schools open.
So is there a, I mean, it seems that if you have enough people, I have this old fantasy, if you have enough people who feel strongly enough and are working clearly enough on an issue that there's no stopping them, I mean, there's a lot of stopping them, but eventually there's no stopping them. What's the next step here that you would propose?
There is no next step, really. They've already decided on what they're going to do. Unless you want to, you know, chain kids to the school or something. I don't know. But I don't know.
The parents could take over the school, I guess.
I have no idea what it is, you know. And to me, it's just, you know, this along with the subject you're just talking about with the housing crisis.
Well, you know, we have Jeff in the studio, caller. Maybe, what's the situation for the kids out at Clearview Court? Are there many children in Clearview Court?
There's quite a few of them. I can't say offhand. Probably about a good dozen of them altogether.
Well, where is Clearview Court?
It's on West Cliff and Bay Avenue, right there across the street from the hotel.
So a lot of the kids that can't afford to go to these charter schools probably go to Natural Bridges School. It's a public school, and they've had their eye on that piece of property for a long time.
They being
The city.
And what do you think they want to do with it?
Supposedly saving $200,000, but are getting $200,000 a month to rent the school out. Parents wanted to save a little part of that school to put part of the elementary school on where the kids are, so they can continue to go. Because a lot of them, all these kids walk to school. There's no busing system in Santa Cruz. Period. They cut that a long time ago.
Well, it was a cost-cutting measure, Bob.
Of course. Mm-hmm. So they're gonna buy skateboards for the kids now or something.
There you go. Skateboards. Of course, they get more extra revenue from the tickets. You see,
well, now all these kids have to trek across town to go to De La Viega, which is at least 3 or 4 miles from the beach flats. I don't know how far it is. A lot of these kids don't have, I don't have a car. You know, I have to ride, me and my kid ride bikes to school. He rides his bike to school, and they're going to have a lot more time traveling, which leaves it open to, you know, various, you know, whatever, people that may want to kidnap kids or something like that, safety reasons. Kids got to cross the freeway to get to De La Viega School. Galt School is their little privileged white public school on the east side. Probably will not. I don't know. They're supposed to have kids go there, too, but they were really big on the whole thing because originally Galt was one of the schools that was supposed to close, but the parents made a huge uproar about it, and there was all this infighting of school against school stuff. And like I said, the Brantford 40 parents are a little bit apprehensive to come out because a lot of them, like I said, are probably illegal that live in the beach flats, maybe, and maybe not. But a lot of them, there's this language barrier that the school board just now finally started having an interpreter at meetings. So a lot of the parents don't even know what's going on. A lot of the Latino parents, which are mostly in Brantford 40, which Brantford 40 is one of the most widely diverse schools that I've ever seen. They have a really neat, unique program showing kids how to be bilingual, not just like give up their heritage language, but to show them how to be bilingual. And we got white kids learning Spanish, we got Spanish kids learning English, and it's a wonderful school, and it's a good school. And I've spoke out against public school a long time, but you know, I've never had a kid to go to school before, but now I do. And there's really good parents, really good teachers there, and they work really hard, and a lot of them are going to end up losing their jobs over this whole thing. It's all related to what's going on, to the whole, you know, to the pastor that was feeding on the mall. It's the whole gentrification is just taking another turn, and it's, to me, it's just another notch in our empire going down here in the United States. It's not going to be much longer. Anyway, I should go.
Skidmark, is there a number people can call if they want more information on the school situation that you could think of?
Oh, shit. I don't know. I don't have it on me right now.
If you get one,
the school board, people can get a hold of the school boards in the phone book.
If you want, leave me a message on the Huff line, and I'll pass it on to people.
This Tuesday at 10 o'clock on Free Radio Santa Cruz, I'm going to be having some parents on and possibly some kids. And maybe
10 a.m. or 10 p.m.?
10 a.m. in the morning. Between 10 and 12, I'm not sure exactly. I haven't gotten it out yet, but we're going to be discussing this whole thing that happened on Wednesday at Natural Bridges, because there's a lot of outrage parents over this whole thing.
Hey, thank you very much.
Most of those parents are all low income, you know, and I'm sure if there's homeless kids, a lot of them are going to public schools, so this is affecting them and affecting low income people, you know.
10 to noon on Tuesday on Free Radio. Tune in, sir. Or call in.
Yes, sir.
Hey.
All right, thanks, Robert.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Phone lines are open. You can give a call to Robert and Jeff here at Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3-427-3772. We have a caller. Hi, you're on Free Radio. Hello? Hello? Are you there?
Wrong number.
Looks like it was a wrong number. Try again, or let's have another caller, 427-3772. We're talking the closing of schools. We're talking shenanigans around rent control, the gutting of rent control. Hi, you're on Free Radio.
Hi, Robert. I just wanted to do a little follow-up call to Skidmark Bob's call.
Sure.
Because he said a couple things that, or one thing at least, that wasn't true, and that's charter schools are not private schools. They're actually public schools, and they don't cost money, so it's not a question of whether somebody can afford to go or not. It's a rather a choice they can make. As far as I know, charter schools it's not a private thing. So their attempt by, you know, parents and teachers to create schools that are have a little different curriculum than the public schools. And you know, obviously Pacific Collegiate is geared towards, you know, kids who are wanting to go to college and do heavy academics. But I think there are other charter schools that are organized around the arts, and so it allows a little diversity. So I don't think charter schools should be made the enemy. They're actually a real good reflection of parents' efforts to get, you know, get better mileage out of the public school system. So, and the other, you know, kind of the other issue that I'm real concerned about, and I wish the parents at Vance Affordy Elementary School would be concerned about it. While all the kids are, you know, learning to be bilingual, they're all being radiated by a cell tower that's on the one of the buildings right next to the playground. And the radiation from a cell tower, I guess they figure goes out about it, that we have to be concerned of about 1,000 feet, and here you have a cell tower just beaming down on the whole school and on the playground, you know, less than 25 feet away from all of that. And I put an alert out last year when this issue came up again, and apparently it falls on deaf ears because people are beholden to wanting that piece of property. It doesn't matter how radiated their kids are getting, it's their school, and by God, they'll radiate their kids in order to go there.
They'll be genetically engineered in the future.
Well, it's all going down, you know, it's all going down, but I you know, schools ultimately are pieces of property, and it's what's important is what goes on, you know, with the parents and the teachers and the whole thing. And the other issue, you know, if we want to talk about poor kids in Beach Flats, I think the poor kids in Beach Flats are closer to Bayview Elementary School. It's just a, you know, down Beach Street and up Bay, and they're at school. And to go over to Brant's Affordy Elementary School, there's a lot more dangerous streets to cross. It's further. So I don't get this, that let's defend their right to, you know, if it's hard for the kids to get to school in the first place, then
it sounds like
let them go to a school that's closer and easier to get to.
Sounds like you want to get in on the 10 to noon debate on Tuesday.
Well, you know, I will try and tune in, but since these issues were being raised, you know, I know that Bob's a, sounds like he's a parent at Brant's Affordy, you know, so he's directly affected.
Right.
But I these other issues are not just, you know, it's not as simplistic as that.
Right. I'm also trying to encourage people to kind of focus on my poor guest here who's been here
That's a whole other can of worms, I'm listening to that, and I think you're right. Take it to the people.
Yeah,
you know?
I think so.
Yeah. So thank you.
By the way, any word, Theodore? I know you've been active in medical marijuana and recreational marijuana and the struggle against the drug war generally. There have been rumors about guidelines floating around where the sheriff is actually going to, and the, I guess the county board of supervisors will allow some kind of more reasonable guidelines in this very restrictive state law, safe, the 420 law that would pass SB 420.
Well, something's happening. I'm not working front line on that. I think what has shifted is that before there were no guidelines, so it gave the sheriff all the leeway. And, you know, some will say he used it well, and others, you know, others who got busted, you know, with less than 10 plants feel that, you know, he wasn't using his discretion well. But what shifted is this, this 420 put in state guidelines that limit growers to 6 plants or half a pound, and that's not even close to a year's supply. So anybody who's growing outdoors and is dependent on the one growing season for their medicine, to limit them to half a pound for the whole year is it's better than nothing, but in this county we can do better. So I think what's really shifted in this county is that the corrals are finally on the side of the guidelines. Before
That would be nice.
They worked with the sheriff to, you know, shoot down any conversation about guidelines, and now they're, you know, their asses are on the line, so to speak. So it looks like we've got some movement, but I don't know the details.
Hey, Theodore, thank you for calling in.
And thank you.
Call
Bye-bye.
Again if you'd like. Bye-bye. 427-3772 is call-in. Jeff and I are sitting here playing cards, waiting for some Clearview Court people to call in, if any of you want to call in. It's your deal, Jeff. Just kidding. Here we go. Hi, you're on Free Radio.
Is this Robert North?
I'm afraid so.
I had a question for your guest, Robert. What's your guest's name? Jeff?
Is this the individual who's constantly sending me the Adolf Hitler quote? Are you that man? Tell me the truth now.
What do you mean? That Hitler was homeless?
Yes, that Hitler was. Every week, actually not this week, but you've been sending me this regular quote pointing out that the German chancellor was homeless before he became the great leader of the Nazi party.
Well, it's one of those interesting anecdotes. I thought maybe you'd read it on the air, but my wishes were not
I mentioned
fulfilled.
It, actually, several times.
Your guest name is Jeff?
It is.
Jeff, you bought your home for $25,000?
The one I currently live in now, I got about $117 in it. I sold the other one for $25,000 and resold it like 17 years later. I got $58,000 for it, so I doubled my investment. After 20 years, which isn't that out of hand. It's mandated by rent control that I only get so much of a increase in my resale value after every year's compiled. So then I went and bought another space in the park and put in a newer home.
And what would you think would be a reasonable return on your $117,000 home?
Well, right now?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I'm happy. I just moved in there, so I don't really want to sell it. But right now, I would probably sell it right now for what I got into it just to get out of this mess.
Okay. I think a lot of what the confusion comes about with this issue from people that live in the affected mobile home parks is they're talking about equity, which they really don't have.
Well, I never thought about equity. To tell you the truth, I'm a single individual. I don't have a family. And I just primarily just wanted to have a roof over my head. And I thought a mobile home was the best opportunity, the best option that I had, in between living in a RV or, buying a house.
Okay. The issue with the equity has created a lot of misinterpretation of what the function of rent control might be. And I think it produced a hole you could drive a truck through for the argument out here at De Anza. And I think that was the beginning of the end of all this. The before that, though, what never seems to come up was when this rent control ordinance was being attacked by MHC, why didn't they rewrite the ordinance? What was being attacked was this affordability clause, which I don't necessarily disagree with. It says that if you're going to get rent control going in, you agree to sell it under those same provisions going out. Seems to me to be reasonable. However, MHC attacked it and won on that grounds. Now, knowing that, why didn't they change the ordinance and dump that clause? That never comes up.
Well, I know that this one instance up at De Anza, I have a conflicting ideas on this that somebody sold their home out there for $500,000.
Well, yes, and they would like to get the realtors involved to turn over their records.
Now,
right?
Was that
and people when this was going down, they knew what they were doing, as far as I could see.
Now, were they under
and
rent
they blew
control?
Holes in this. Now, however, I people will do what they do. What I'm saying, though, is that Kennedy, Scott Kennedy particularly, and Rockin, Kennedy particularly, who was the sponsor of the rent control ordinance here in Santa Cruz, when this issue was under attack in the early days, before it became the swan song of 2003, why didn't they rewrite the ordinance?
Well,
you follow me. Why didn't they dissolve the old ordinance and replace it with a new ordinance that was going to be legally safe?
Perhaps they didn't want rent control, caller.
I think perhaps they were so hung up on their PC perspective that they couldn't see the forest or the trees.
Well, I think they would have...
Rather than save rent control, in order to save rent control, they decided they had to destroy it.
Well,
I think it's extremely weak on the part of some of these folks, and I have yet to hear Rockin or Kennedy address that perspective. When you knew that affordability clause was being attacked, why did you not write a new rent control ordinance and replace the old one with that clause removed.
Well, it
Why
probably,
is it so important to have that clause?
It would have still been attacked, probably, but then let's get this. Swenson and Kennedy, I think Kennedy lives in and operates a business out of one of Swenson's buildings. Is that not correct?
I have no idea about the familiarity about small-town Santa Cruz politics, and I won't even discount the validity of what you're saying. Look, there are other rent control parks in Santa Cruz that were not affected by this brouhaha. They found a hole they could drive a truck through because clearly there were people that were selling their houses out here at De Anza for way beyond the stipulated rate.
There's only two mobile home parks in the city of Santa Cruz that are
right.
in rent
control. I grant you that. I warrant that. What I'm saying is that MHC found a hole they could drive a truck through. This affordability clause, which Mr. Kennedy apparently was very hung up on, right? And it may well have been novel, and it may well have been the ultimate in PC politics. But what he did, he and Mr. Rockin and others did, when they decided they were going to go down with the boat on this issue, is they quite literally upheavaled the lives of quite a few people here in town, which could have been avoided by some honest renegotiation, rewriting of the law. I have yet to hear that address. I would like to hear Mr. Rockin and Mr. Kennedy address why, when you knew that clause was being challenged, did you not rewrite the ordinance?
Caller, let me ask you a couple questions here.
Go ahead.
Have you, I would encourage you, if you haven't already, and perhaps you have you contacted Kennedy or Rockin? You can call them right now.
I like Rockin, Robert. I have said it on your show for various reasons.
Hang on a second. Before you go into that, I mean, I just want to point out that anybody who has this concern could make a phone call to 420-5020, and you'd be able to leave a voicemail message with either Vice Mayor Rodkin or Mayor Kennedy and ask the very question that this caller is asking.
But my wife and I, when we have the time, we're going to set up a meeting with Mr. Rodkin.
Right, and
I'm suggesting
that anyone who's listening to the show,
which is good,
can also call 420-5020
and do
that.
This is the issue that was never addressed, NEVER. Why? When you knew that affordability clause was going to be challenged, where you could drive a truck through that hole, why did you not rewrite the ordinance when it was early enough to save rent control in the parks that were going to be affected?
Now,
I think it is utterly,
right.
In my mind, incomprehensible, except on this closed-looped PC politics, which tends to dominate Santa Cruz.
So, I heard that Will Constantine, the attorney who's kind of was around in those days when they this law was written, which I guess was in 94 for the De Anza people. In 92, I guess it was Clearview Court. In 94, it was for De Anza.
Well, I think they came in at the same time.
Maybe
they came
time.
In at the same time.
Was
it
the same
was
time?
With the affordability clause. It was Scott Kennedy was the sponsoring council person.
Interesting. Well, what Constantine said at the monthly meeting of the Golden Gate Trailer Association that I was at last fall was that it was Barisoni's law, that Barisoni had this fascination with it, but it may have been Barisoni, if I'm not sure.
No, it was somebody whose name I can't remember that actually was involved in the drafting of the ordinance. It was not Barisoni. It was one of Kennedy's
interesting
cadre. Now, let me say this, too. When this scene went down with De Anza, and I've expressed this on your show, because of the way that it went down with the city council, the 6-1 vote, it seemed to most of us out here that the best thing we could do, rather than leaving it open for MHC to literally do whatever they want, was to acquiesce and sign the 34-year lease. Okay?
Well, that's what some people wanted to do.
All right. I still tend to feel that way. Now, however, I feel very strongly that I have never heard this affordability clause question being addressed.
I know you said that, and
okay.
I think it should be.
And to me, this is where the issue is.
Let me ask you another question, because I know you brought this up several times. I've been trying to get this document. You've been trying to email it to me without success. You have information that in San Jose, MHC, the large corporation that supposedly has been writing the agenda on all this stuff for the city council with its lawsuit activities, was successfully reversed in some court decision. Do you have any information on that?
I tried to send you a
But can you describe it for us?
Kept getting rejected by your Hotmail.
Right. Can you describe kind of the substance of what that decision was?
Maybe I can find it if I'm quick on the draw here.
Sure. Why don't you look for it, caller, and get back to us, and then give us a kind of a brief summary of what it was.
I can't find it right offhand, Robert. But
you can find it in the next couple of hours.
Here's the gist, okay? It doesn't always mean that endless legions of lawyers win, okay? What my point was is that as PC progressive as Santa Cruz wants to come on to be, quite often, and in the issue of rent control, it ain't nowhere in the leadership. In fact, San Jose is way ahead of Santa Cruz in terms of rent control leadership.
The same day that they were selling out De Anza, I guess it was San Mateo was passing a rent control.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay,
it's not about the rent control.
All right. I have no doubts that some of the council persons and some of the council person wannabes are listening to your show right now. Maybe they can ask Monsieur Rockin and Kennedy why they did not redraft the ordinance when they had the chance, why they were so hung up on that affordability clause.
Gotcha.
When they knew that it was going to be challenged and
right.
That they're going to lose.
Okay, well, listen, thank you for that query.
I didn't care.
Right. Give a call to 420-502 if you'd like to ask Mayor Kennedy that issue. You can call him today. The lines are open. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you, Robert.
All righty. Bye-bye. And the phone lines are open, 427-3772. For listeners who are wondering why we're spending so much time on folks who actually have housing trailers, and pretty nice ones, and can actually sell them, or they can't sell them, actually, because of this rent control brouhaha, I guess you can still sell your trailers theoretically at Clearview Corp, but there's such a cloud over everything that it's going to be real hard to find buyers, even now, and there's still so-called real rent control until the leases get changed, right?
There's about a third there's a lot of for sale signs in the parks, you know, representatives of real estate offices I see in the park, all the time, you know, but nobody's going to buy them. I don't see anybody buying them.
I wonder how things are in De Anza, if anybody knows if people are actually successfully able to sell. I know De Anza got this absurd deal that they used to, I guess the leadership used to persuade the De Anza court that they should not turn in these signatures and stop the city council's gutting of rent control. The deal was if you sell your trailer in the next year, you only get it's only going to double the cost of rents. So it won't go up 3 or 4 or 5 times as it will after a year. So that's supposed to be the sweetheart deal. And I'm wondering if anybody in De Anza has been able to sell their trailers, whether that's working, or whether people are just sort of locked into this, you know, you're there till you die and then get the hell out of town. We don't want your relatives living here. These will be sold to other people. This whole thing will be cleared away. It's the destruction of low-income housing, and the gentrification process, as one caller has mentioned it.
I can add just this. I believe it was like a gun held up to their head saying, hey, if you go through with these signatures and put this on the vote, you know, to the vote, it's going to be, you're just going to be creating more problems, and you're really going to get it.
Of course, that's what Kennedy, Rotkin, and the people at the trailer park who are the tops, the boards of directors.
MHC was the one that actually said that. It says you're really going to be, you're just going to be shooting yourself.
Well, I can understand MHC saying it. I can even understand the city council saying it. But for me, for the board of directors who put everybody out getting these signatures to say it, when they had all the facts at their disposal when they started out with this signature drive, it really outrages me for them to essentially sell out the people. Yeah, it would be a continued struggle, but you have a choice of struggling or of going under. I guess you can hold on to a piece of debris, which is the 34-year lease, as it bobs up and down in the ocean.
That's exactly what I'm doing. You know, I mean, I hope we get a longer time period than what De Anza did. You know, like I pointed out before, they're a retirement community mobile home park, whereas we're a middle-class family type of park, but there are low-income people in there, and there are some people that are above low-income, but certainly it's the average. You know, it's the average person that lives in, Clearview Court. It's nobody that's really affluent.
You know, to break all this up, because it'd be nice to do a little musical interlude here, I've been announcing regularly on this show the SAFE event, S-A-F-E, Society for Artistic Freedom and Expression on the Streets, which is trying to return street performers to the streets of Santa Cruz in spite of the oppressive, thank you, Santa Cruz City Council, downtown ordinances that destroyed the voluntary street performers' guidelines and essentially drove away a lot of out-of-town performers and has made it more difficult for local performers because they want to get rid of the unsightly homeless and poor people and give the police a broader blank check against those who they consider undesirable downtown. So SAFE, Society for Artistic Freedom and Expression, has been doing weekly events, weekly strum-alongs, sing-alongs, jams on the street, and they've been doing that at in front of New Leaf Market. So I'm going to play a little bit of that just as a breather, see if anybody calls in. Looks like Jeff is getting ready to take off, or at least to stretch. I'm not sure what you're up to, Jeff. But if you do want to call in and talk any more about this rent control issue, the school issue, whatever else related issues to that, do so quickly because I think we're going to lose our main guest here. And while we're waiting for your calls, you're going to hear a little bit of music and of the babble that happened at the second of the weekly SAFE events. There's going to be another one next Wednesday, 6 o'clock, in front of the New Leaf Market, and it's you get hot soup, very tasty vegan soup. And this was the event, it happened 2 weeks ago, and we're going to play a little bit of it. Give us a call here, 427-3772, or email us at rnorse2@hotmail.com.
It's February 11, 2004, nearing 7 o'clock downtown. Looks like a jovial scene down at the New Leaf Market area as SAFE's second weekly event rolls into high gear.
I ain't no outlaw, I ain't no thief. My spirit's willing, but these habits, they run deep. I ain't the bad guy, I didn't shoot anyone, but you got me running like a last Wild West outlaw. You got me hiding in the shadow. Been a long, long time since I've seen the sun. I ride by night like an outlaw.
And it's about 7:05. Crowd has grown to about 20 people, kind of lingering. Looks like the pizza's pretty much devoured that Mike True delivered to us. And Valerie is dancing away, as is Becky. And we have the Mad Cow contingent staffing the table here. The giggling Mad Cow contingent. Drinking coffee at the Mad Cow table. And then someone wearing a very particularly attractive jacket.
I think it's very smart. I love it.
Like your button support.
You like the button?
Support our troops, bring them home now. Yeah, I've seen that before somewhere. We're here with musician Joe Williams. Joe, this is your second week here puffing tipperillos and playing music. How did you come to be spending your time here when you could be doing? You do paid gigs in Aptos or in Capitola. I've seen you.
Oh, right. Yeah. I'm a regular performing musician around town. Why am I out in the street?
Well, playing in an illegal position within 10 feet of a sidewalk cafe. What's this all about, Joe? Are you turning to the criminal life?
I guess I have been criminalized when I wasn't looking. The boundaries have been drawn. As they want to say, I didn't cross the border crossed me.
Sort of double-crossed you, eh?
Yes, double-crossed. So this is a little attempt out here to just reclaim some public space that's been slowly but steadily being eroded by the powers that be here in Santa Cruz. And it looks good. Got people bringing out food. There's hot soup. There's pizza. There's a gaggle of musicians and onlookers, and we're having a grand old time.
Indeed. Though not as much money in the guitar case as there was this time last week. I know you hauled in $13 last week.
Yeah,
now,
well,
you're making $2.12. So is it because people are becoming more tight-fisted? Times are leaner, or is it your apparel? Perhaps you're insufficiently fashionably dressed. What do you think?
Oh, I figure it's a Wednesday night. You know, it's not too much street traffic, but what there is appreciative, and people who. It's interesting, you know, the people who can least afford it are the ones that contribute the most. Very interesting. You find that everywhere you go, the poorer you are, the more likely they are to share with you. And if you've got a bunch of money, they'll walk by with their noses in the air and know what to make of that, except it's just a passing observation.
Well, it's not, the cynical would say, because they haven't got much to lose, they don't mind giving you what they got. Perhaps the true seers would say they've been there and they know how it is, and they realize that it ain't. What is the material, obviously, in terms of the sustenance, and therefore sharing it is the important thing, particularly to those who need it.
Well, I think in some ways they realize we're out here and we're all kind of in the same boat trying to, you know, get by. You know, a lot of the street musicians out here, I mean, folks like me have been lucky enough to actually, you know, get paid gigs indoors. Or I think, you know, owe a debt of gratitude to folks who, you know, get started in the street. I think this is the kind of scene that, you know, kind of an incubator for, you know, aspiring performers. And this is where people hone their craft. Some people might not like it. They might find some of the noise and a little raucous. But this is where it all starts. And a lot of people you've come to know and love in the music biz got their start right here.
So there we are. The weather is getting bombier. Syria may be bombed any day now. It's bombing weather.
We're always bombing everything. It's everywhere we go, we leave a freaking mess in our... you're changing subjects on me, but that's fine. Everywhere we go. You know, it's like this military might, you know, that we project around the globe does not do anything for peace or democracy or anything. It's always in the service of the moneyed interest and... everywhere we go. I mean, just look at Haiti. Look at the mess they're in now. Destabilization is heating up down in Haiti again. The slanders against Aristide are happening all over again. We've got bases all over the place. We're going to close bases here and move the troops overseas since that controls the resources and the shipping lanes and whatnot. I'm pretty cynical about all this, but resistance has got to start somewhere. Figure might as well start here on the street.
Resistance is not futile?
Not futile. As long as we can do small things like this and reclaim some of some space for public dialogue, essentially.
So you've been here at the table giving out flyers for this so-called Mad Cow ceremony, which is some giggling person's name for this SAFE event, the Society for Artistic Freedom and Expression. What is your name again?
Allah.
Yes. Just, are you the one Allah?
You do not have to get your prayer rug out.
And what do you think? What's your impression of this?
Well, I think that our politicians should find more important issues to worry about than stopping music and freedom of expression.
They're just trying to regulate it so the public will appreciate it better and that there won't be the wrong element. Who is she? Your press agent over here? Always a critic.
We have enough regulations and ordinances. We don't need to clutter our books up with anymore.
Now, you came over from San Jose.
Yes, I did.
And you're freezing on the street. Where did you go back to San Jose?
Freezing on the street. I think I'm going to be heading back now, and good luck with you. I hope you get that ordinance repealed.
Thank you, Ali. Allah.
Allah.
Yes. Sorry about that. Mike True is leaving for New Orleans. When do you plan to take off, Mike?
I'm leaving this weekend.
And this is, you have a place lined up, or you're just going to kind of park your guitar on the street and check it out?
Yeah, I'm going to park myself in the street and check it out, probably, yeah. It's going to be a matter of just seeing the Mardi Gras go down, because it's that time of year, and kind of getting a feel for what the community is like over there, and street performances especially, and maybe some night scene.
You won't forget us. You will call free radio on occasion.
We're going to keep in touch. We're going to try and maintain some kind of a system of communication. Hopefully I'm on a still continue to be on the mailing list for our SAFE organization, and so I'll get all the inside scoop on what's happening.
Mailing list? Can we afford stamps? I don't know. Well,
I'll be barely able to afford the modem connections. Yeah, that's going to be it. But hopefully we'll maintain that, and maybe I'll have a day job that actually supports me there. That was the difficulty here in Santa Cruz.
Well, you got a settlement from a successful lawsuit against the Santa Cruz City Police Department and the city for seizing your property, your artwork, your CDs, and locking you in handcuffs, holding you off to the side. Sergeant Baker felt you were a dangerous person or troublemaker.
Troublemaker for sure. And you know, this is chapter 49 in the whole thing, but about 2.5 years ago it's been this all went down, and they hassled me for having CDs, trying to sell my own music, and we challenged them on it in federal court.
All right.
And got them to at least pay us off so that they wouldn't have to go to trial on the thing. So it let them know that we were kind of onto some of the things
now,
that they were doing.
Filtering back onto the street in the form of pizza.
Well, this was kind of a one-term time. This is my kind of going away party thing.
Yeah,
and
you spent 4 months working on this organization, Society for Artistic Freedom Expression, SAFE, in head-to-head battles with certain malcontents on the committee. You have been, in fact, you've turned out a flyer, a mission statement, a purpose, and more important, you've got some music on the streets.
Well, I'd like to say that I've done this, but it's not actually me. It's been the group that's doing this.
But I know that.
And I'd like everybody in the group to know that I really appreciate their support and have enjoyed watching this whole thing kind of evolve. And now that we're back out on the streets, the weather's good. I'm hoping that this community continues to support groups like SAFE, the Society for Artistic Freedom and Expression, and the people that are involved in street art and music, and appreciate Robert's endeavors to help us out here, and I'm just enjoying the music.
And a few of the highlights, or perhaps just lowlifes, from the SAFE event of 2 weeks ago. And there'll be another one on Wednesday as we regularly reclaim the streets and reclaim the rights of the public and of the street performers to peacefully and musically exercise constitutional rights and just put out some good music. Come on down, 6 o'clock on Wednesday night. You can also come to the Huff meeting if you're into civil rights for homeless and poor people, and everybody, actually, on the streets and in public spaces. We meet also on Wednesday at 8:30 in the morning at Baker's Square at 1107 Ocean Street. Baker Square Restaurant, more information, give a call to the Huff line, 423-HUFF, 423-HUFF, plus numbers you may have missed earlier in the show. Hopefully, I'll be able to get back to you if you leave me a message. Press the pound key to skip the long message. You can also go to the Huff website, www.huffsantacruz, H-U-F-F, Santa Cruz, all one word, small letters, huffsantacruz.org, and there should be something there to track your interest if you're interested in civil rights issues. It's, a bit of it is older, most of it, in fact. I'm not sure how updated we are. Thomas Levitt has been still searching for housing. He and Ganilla, who kept this website up to date, or at least set it up and have been trying to maintain it, are in the process of moving around, so it's not completely current, but there is a blog. That is to say, you have the opportunity to get access to the website and write your own accounts of what's going on. So if you're out there on the streets, if you happen to be listening to this show and you're seeing some inappropriate behavior by police officers, some interesting information the community might want to know here in Santa Cruz or in other cities, because this website, of course, is on the Internet, hence anybody anywhere in the world, and perhaps even on the moon, who knows, can tune into it and get information from it. So be happy to learn what's going on by going back to that website, I'd Like to Know. And so if you want to tell me, you can either call into the show or you can make a note to the website and let us know how things are going in your neck of the woods or on your piece of the street. This is Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM, 101.1 FM, www.freakradio.org in Santa Cruz. Boy, this is a new schedule I see before me now. It's got some changes. Looks good. There's some things coming up today that my producer wanted me to remind you of. And I'm going to see if I actually have access to that. I'm looking. I think I might. There is an event at 1 o'clock. This is a Leap Day. The 29th of February comes on every 4 years on February 29th. You may not remember, but last year there wasn't a February 29th because it's only on, it's even-numbered years, but it's even-numbered years every fourth year, and I think every century it doesn't happen, but every fourth century it does happen. So there's one in 1600, there's one in 2000, but in 1700 and 1800 and 1900 there are no February 29th. Now, I could be wrong about that. I may be a little, I haven't really reviewed, but that kind of, those kinds of details used to interest me, and I think that's the story. But there's a special event happening today at San Lorenzo Park, which is mentioned on the Indie Media website. For those of you who have Indie Media, www.santacruz.indiemedia.org, a great website to go to. It's called Leap Day 2004, Take Back Santa Cruz, converge at 1 p.m., San Lorenzo Park. And there's a, let's see if I can actually get to it by zipping into the website. There's a, here we go, Leap Day. Call for a day of action on Leap Day, open-ended, nothing off-limits in terms of tactics, goals, or strategies. A party on Leap Day. Bring costumes, toys, music, art, or anything else that helps you, probably umbrellas or warm clothes anyway. I'm reading from the Indie Media website. This unclaimed extra day allows a window for us to jump out of the runaway train of modern society. Let this be a day of be a blank canvas, which we can transform into anything our hearts and minds desire for the world we most want to live in. Let us tap into our own wild, fearless creativity to turn the everyday grind of war, capitalism, and inequality into a new society based on mutual aid, cooperation, freedom, and love. Does this mean public fucking? I don't know. In short, let us use Leap Day as a no-holds-barred day of action to bring out of the mold what we as activists have been stuck in for far too long. This sounds a little vague. And I'm not just trying to be crass and vulgar and overly candid by these sexual suggestions. And there were, you know, events in the 60s which did involve, a love-in meant a love-in. You know, it meant love, and it also meant sexual expression, too, of course, with the advent of AIDS and gentrification. I guess it's not an advent. There's always been gentrification. There's people on the Internet talking about what they want people to do. I see Becky Johnson weighs in asking for people to bring sidewalk chalk and have a civil disobedience hopscotch party. Sanan says invite all the street musicians, tarot readers, jugglers, and artists. Pacific Avenue used to be one way, and it was so much fun, creativity, and life. This is what Santa Cruz has made Santa Cruz famous. Now this town is almost dead. Hardly any life, creativity, or expression. Boring. Become Palo Alto by the day, Silicon Beach. We need to break out of these chains that are slowly being put around our life force and remind Santa Cruz what life is really like. On the next day, everyone come out and set up downtown and do your thing. Wake up and remember what a living downtown was like. So I will certainly look in on this day after the show and see what's happening with Leap Day. That's downtown, 1 o'clock, San Lorenzo Park. And who knows, it might spill over onto the Pacific Garden, formerly Pacific Concrete. It's now Mall. And it isn't too clear what the details are. I guess the details will be made up by the people who show up, as usual. And so much for that. What else we got going on here? There's an event from 4 to 10 o'clock today at the Vets Hall in downtown Santa Cruz. It is a body image and gender event. And this does involve sex. It's addressing issues of sex work, alternative relationships and sex practices, safer sex, and reclaiming sex for survivors and partners. Big feature is Daisy Anarchy, an activist with sex workers organized for human, labor, and civil rights, and local community activist Monica Morales of Santa Cruz AIDS Project. And there's a gender funk collective. It's the BIG Big Event, a sex-positive event on sexual politics. $3 to $10 donation. No one turned away for lack of funds. Vets Hall starts at 4 and goes to 9:30. It's a second annual event. Brings sex to the foreground, challenging the mainstream view of who and what is sexual. It will be free food. Please bring your own cup, utensil, and plate. There you have it. Sex and food, or at least information about sex, discussion about sex. Who knows? You might meet some people who are interested in sex if you approach it properly. Never can tell. Ah, sex. So check that out at the Betts Hall, 4 to 9:30. And what else we got? Art and Revolution. That's the group that tried to do a, actually did do a parade at first night, and they agreed not to flyer so as not to upset the powers that be, although I think a little flyering got done anyway, and not to have, improper political speeches with things like, you know, the Iraqi war. We don't want to confuse a joyous first night celebration with, mingle it with the screams of the people dying over in Iraq. It wouldn't be appropriate. After all, there are children present at this event. We don't want to do that sort of thing. Art and Revolution is now, I guess, they were put in the back of the parade anyway. They were essentially harassed repeatedly anyway. Their message, such as it was drowned out when they tried to sing it in a sort of Wizard of Oz parody. And they have been apparently engaging, Louis LaFortune told us about a month ago, in negotiations with the Scott Kennedy and others, I guess the Downtown Association First Night people who are doing this. I'm not sure exactly who they are. Actually, I've seen their names in print, but I don't remember them. But so far, no particular understandings are very explicit coming out. I suggested that people start boycotting the businesses that did get headlined on this thing if there's no agreement that the First Amendment doesn't remain the First Amendment in Santa Cruz, particularly in Santa Cruz. If they want to shut you up for they've already arrested Becky Johnson for chalking a peace symbol on Pacific Avenue. Actually, she got cited and she was arrested for writing something about the homeless along the curb. And convicted, I might add. So things are looking pretty bad. I've suffered a similar arrest for writing in the street, "No War." But they didn't bring that charge to court, of course, because I was in the street and I wasn't on the sidewalk. They're trying to manipulate the sidewalk law to criminalize chalking about political messages. And, of course, they canceled the chalking ceremony, chalking event at New Year's because they were afraid they might get legally in trouble for criminalizing ordinary citizens who want to write free speech messages. And then, of course, the commercially acceptable corporate free speech that's organized by the city, which is going to be okay. Anyway, the Art and Revolution meets Monday. That's tomorrow, 7 to 9 at the Resource Center for Inaction. I'm sorry, the Resource Center for Nonviolence. That's it. I'm always a bit cranky with the Resource Center for Nonviolence because they don't seem to have much concern about violence in Santa Cruz. It's always violence in, you know, Palestine, or violence in Uganda, violence in Colombia, violence in the military elsewhere, but certainly not in Santa Cruz with the Santa Cruz Police Force. That's always a problem with me, or the laws that the Santa Cruz City Council, headed by the co-founder of the Resource Center for Nonviolence, Scott Kennedy, who is our mayor, have made it a crime and have actually mandated violence, which is the use of unauthorized force, unconstitutional force, against people for example, holding up a sign after dark asking for money silently. That is illegal in Santa Cruz. Period. Scott Kennedy's law. Give him a call at 420-502 and ask him, what are you doing pretending to be mayor and the co-founder for the Resource Center for Nonviolence? I mean, let's make up our mind, Mr. Schizo. I went to court on Friday on another one of those little constitutional issues. I was playing a video downtown about police misconduct, as I used to do quite regularly at what we used to call Merry Mondays, where we would do a video presentation, political stumping from Thomas Levitt and Steve Argue's candidates for city council. Homeless folks would speak right across from the Cinema 9 in that large O'Neill's area in front of O'Neill's. It's one of the few open spaces left. And we would set up a video, television set, boombox, and play a video. People would watch it for a couple hours. Sergeant Baker and his officers would hover around threatening to arrest us for different things, but never for actually showing the video. Well, when we tried that in front of the Pacific Trading Company 6 months later in a boycott of the Pacific Trading Company when they destroyed the seating space using your money, the Pacific Trading Company got the city council to get the police department's budget raided in order to fence off the seating there so that the undesirable people, the undesirable street performers, Cosmic Chris, would no longer trouble the Pacific Trading Company as one of the musicians they were particularly hostile toward. And we set up a table and protested. We got arrested because we had a table there for more than 60 minutes under another Scott Kennedy law that makes it illegal to have a table for more than 60 minutes in one spot on the mall, a law unique to Santa Cruz. There is no other city in the world that I know of that has such a law. Please let me know if you hear of one, and I'll correct my statement and announce it on the air. Santa Cruz, only liberal Santa Cruz, with liberal mayor Scott Kennedy and liberal socialist vice mayor Mike Rotkin could possibly institute such liberal fascism here. And when we videoed that arrest of Steve Argue, who's still going to court on that issue, should be coming up next month in March, the issue of whether you're allowed to register voters for more than an hour in one spot, even if you're not bothering anyone or blocking traffic or anything of that sort, but just because the businesses want to give the police the power to move people along they don't like. That's coming up for trial. We were showing a video about that issue in June, and Sergeant Baker came along and just wrote us a $324 ticket out of the blue for not having an amplified sound permit, something that had never been required before. I went to court on Friday asking for Judge Almquist, formerly Supervisor Almquist, formerly Attorney Almquist, for a ruling that would allow, I didn't actually go to trial, I went to a hearing that allowed for, it sought for him to look at the police, the records of complaints against Sergeant Butchie Baker, as well as the two other officers involved, Officers Gray and Pollock, as to whether other people had found similar constitutional violations that they had complained about. This is what's called a Pitchess motion. And it doesn't mean that I get to look into the personnel files of the police department. Those are sacrosanct, thanks to the power of the police lobby and state law. However, the judge is required to do that if I even make a minimal showing that it might be relevant. I presented him with pages and pages of documents, read them into the record, and he essentially denied me out of hand, not really giving much explanation why, though I did get a chance to speak at some length before an empty courtroom, although Attorney Kate Wells showed up to watch. She isn't taking local criminal cases. She's pretty much demoralized on that score, but she will take local civil rights cases in the civil area. That is her kind of her forte, and she was watching. She thought I did fairly well, and that really there was not much one could do except Almquist had apparently made up his mind, and the case will now be going to trial in early April, with a pretty much foregone conclusion of a guilty verdict. I want to thank Francis for showing up. That's an activist from De Anza, who's also been active in SAFE and HUF, who has been really putting in a lot of work. And thank you very much. And thank everyone else for showing up and expressing interest in this matter. These are your rights that are being challenged here. And it may seem petty and trivial and futile, all of which it is, but it is also your rights that you have to, in some sense, stand up for, because as the little button says and the bumper sticker says, ignore your rights, and they'll go away. 96.3 FM, 101.1 FM. Let's hear a little more of that SAFE event from a couple weeks ago and throw a little music your way, and then we'll be back with some more from Clearview Court, and finally we'll finish up the food on the mall. Thank you very much, at least none that's unauthorized. That's apparently the undertow of the City Council Downtown Association's activities in the last couple months, according to Dennis Adams. We'll talk more about that. We'll hear more about that.
Have more living on time. what they can't really afford. Treating Mother Nature like a grocery store. And nobody's keeping the score. Now me and Uncle Rumpel, we've been there before. We'll wonder what the hell people all do in that poor. They gotta make a little money so they make a little war. And they do it in the name of the Lord. But it's all bullshit. It's all bullshit. Just a little bit of that good old military jive. It's all bullshit. It's all bullshit. It ain't fooling me. It ain't fooling you. It's just a two-bit bullshit lie.
And he plays the stock and shares, and he goes to the regatta. He adores the girl next door, cause he's trying to get at her. But his mother knows the best about the matrimonial stakes. And he's oh so good, and he's oh so fine, and he's oh so healthy in his body and his mind. He's a well-respected man about town, doing the best thing so conservatively.
So we're talking with Boxcar. And you've been traveling up to Portland and Washington and other places, more or less?
Yes, I ended up in Tacoma. And then Seattle, they had the tent city thing going up there. And then back down into Portland to Dignity Village.
Another tent city, or actually another city of almost run city.
Out by the airport.
What was your analysis? How did it look?
Fair for the most part, but I think they're getting ready to shake them up again.
When were you there?
Just actually recently, less than a couple months ago, and they had a city council getting ready to like change the criteria for them to be there, but the one in Portland is like, they've been there for a while, and it's like they really got it going on as far as being able to keep the basics. They got everything from a little trailer that they call a house, and then they've got it's set up so that people can do the bus pass things. So that's no small feat.
Did they let you stay? Do they have a place for you, or did you just visit?
I just visit. I just go to see how things are going. You know, see how, because some of the people I'm familiar with before they actually got involved, which is cool. So I just kind of do a look-see kind of thing. But yeah, it's definitely
like Tent City 3 in Seattle.
They were getting ready to make the jump to light speed to more southern region, a little bit harder for the buses, but they've already got it set up, and they should be there now.
How many people do these two cities serve?
Oh, gosh. Let's see. You'd have to take into consideration about the people who show up during the day that don't stay there and get the services, and then you have to take in consideration the people that are there. Easily a couple of hundred, easily. Dignity Village is like expanding, and it's like they really got it going on. The one in Seattle, that one carries between 100 and 200 people, and those are just the people that come in through the gate, you know. But it's quite an interesting ambiance.
Have you seen any other tent cities like in California?
Actually, yeah, L.A. There's a couple. Diego's got a variational theme. There's a small one that's starting out in the Midwest.
and a few up in Oregon along the Salem, the state capital, and a very small one Minnesota, up toward Duluth. And that's just the ones that I'm familiar with.
Kind of cool.
We've been talking with
Boxcar.
Thank you, Boxcar.
You're very welcome. Be well.
You too.
And actually, a lot of interviews came out of these safe events. There'll be some more coming up on Wednesday, as I'm going to remind you again. 6 o'clock, come on down. Bring a cup if you want to have some of that tasty gumbo, jumbo gumbo Joseph Schultz's soup of the week. It's always something different. It's always seems to be better than last week. Really, we dish it out. It's hot. And against the cold weather, it's great. And I guess this week we're going to be trying to get people's accounts of any instances of harassment that have happened in the last week so we can keep tabs on what's going on the streets, as well as to sing some good music, maybe even start signing people up for larger musical events, which we've talked about holding but are still sort of in the planning stages. Now I'm going to go back to the council meeting of Tuesday when Clearview Court residents came, many of them Spanish-speaking, and essentially begged city council to stop the rent control destruction that they were allowing to happen through approving the lease. And they were sufficiently embarrassed or felt for the tenants. I can't believe that they really did. They wouldn't even begun this in the first place. I believe they were embarrassed and pressured into holding up on this for 2 months while they seek some behind-the-scenes deal. But let's hear some more of that meeting. Again, my apologies for the poor quality of the tape. I'm going to try to compensate, but it's going to require some more closer listening by you out there, so be advised.
Now, you say that you had another instance.
Hi, my name is Nina Tilana. I'm from Jesus. I've been doing translation for the Spanish-speaking community in Tel Aviv Port. And one of the things I found is never the city or whoever was responsible for this did anything translated into Spanish for those people to go under rent control. Never. So if you don't know the language and somebody told you like Mr. Viera, it's okay, you are in rent control, you are in my rent control. When the house, when the park changed hands, the new owners never went and say, okay, you guys, I don't know who was the person who was in charge with this. Maybe Daniel, I don't know. But somebody went there and say, here, it's in Spanish.
Read it.
And I think you guys made a big mistake. And please, give a little window to those people. They are going to be on the street. I think we are my neighbors. So.
My name is Jean Belknap. I live in Kirby Port. And I'm here to tell you about my neighbors, the Perez's. A young couple. They live in a 600 plus square foot house with a 3-year-old daughter. They both work. Their second child is due on the same day as their wife travels. They're planning on abandoning their home. Mrs. Perez told me this in tears. They're walking away. They can't afford it. She knows what it does to her credit. They're moving back in with her parents and her four younger brothers and sisters. Would you please have some consideration with me?
Different issues.
issues, different factors that can influence the decisions either way. And there, I can go on and talk about what all of them are. But I think I'll just go on to what I feel is, as people, as living, feeling entities, what is our deeper and more fundamental motivating drive, which is the knowledge of or the ignorance to suffering, what it is to feel pain. This image can be made to alleviate the suffering of many people, many families, children, many elderly with fixed incomes, and to say that these people are going to be in a tough situation is just a phrase. These people will be in a tough situation, and it's empty, and it's cold, and it's rigid, and it doesn't mean anything until we can actually feel, until we can actually perceive, and until we can actually be in these people's shoes. So that's the only thing that I'm asking, that I really feel that there's room to go either way here by decisions made by the city council. So I'm only asking that the word empathy is taken into consideration, that these people's eyes are looked into, that the amount of children are accounted for, and how much of these children's lives, and I think is less on this soul issue. So I just want to bring that to attention, that aside from all the legal issues going around, there are feelings involved, and there's states of well-being involved, and there are degrees of happiness involved, and an overall quality of life involved, all depending on the decisions, on many of the decisions that you've made by the city council, so that's all that I want to bring to your hands today. Yeah, my name is Sergio Lucan. Thank you.
Issues of survival involved and other things too. And it's really kind of a sad thing to watch people prostrating themselves before a city council that's going to nod, listen attentively, and continue with the decision that's intended in the first place. But that's what the people in this room should know is going on. That's what happened in Vianza. That's what repeatedly happens at this city council. What we have here is, thanks to City Manager Ben Wilson and other high-minded staffers here, we have the killing of rent control in Santa Cruz, opportunistically done here at this time, as was done with Vianza. I think that what we have to recognize is that this council likes to present lip service and the posture of caring for Latino and low-income people, as for example it did in the Nueva Vista, the Open Leaf project that opened up last Friday, where an entire community is displaced so that a second community, the parts of the first community, could be returned, but low-income housing was in the main destroyed there, instead of being more of it being created. We have the same thing happen with Vianza, we have the same thing happening here. And it seems to me that what this community needs to do and what this group of people need to do is to come together. Vianza people came together. The only thing that impresses or strikes the city council is power. Power from the community to tell them, you vote this way, you're out. And that is what this community needs to get together to do. Vianza had hundreds of people involved. They had much more resources than this community does. But I think this community has a heart. This community can respond to the situation if, as I anticipate, the council does not. We'll be having a radio show tomorrow at 6 p.m. on 96.3 FM and 101.1 FM. That's free radio, where members of Clearview Court will be speaking. The owner, who declines to identify himself and is seen in the back row, is also invited to speak on the air. Council members are invited to come speak on the air on this issue, not simply discuss it in closed session and make quick announcements to this group as to what's happening, as they did with Vianza. Now, rent control is an issue that affects everybody citywide, even though we're talking about trailer parks, we're talking about trailer courts. And it's outrageous for Scott Kennedy, our mayor, to write a letter to the paper suggesting that rent control is going to be preserved And it's a sad thing to me, but it's not going to be preserved. The equity is being gutted. Any kind of life-threatening illnesses, no one's going to be able to make loans or sell their homes, and it's being killed by the progressive Santa Cruz City Council, whereas in other cities, it is being extended and protected. And that we have to know, and that we have to take responsibility for, and so does our mayor on that issue. Please call in to Free Radio at 427-3772. On Thursday evening, 6 o'clock, you're welcome to do that. We can discuss the issue more there. Call the City Council at 420-5020 and tell them no, or you will be out. Thank you. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Michelle Erica. I'm a 12-year-old kid trying to live my life just like the other kids. But I can't because I'm living under fear that I might lose my home and live on the street. And I just ask if you guys could please help us, because we just want to live our life like the other people in America. Live happily, go to work, and go to school. So I ask if you could please help us get rent control so we can keep our home and not have to move out or live in the street. I hope you think. Yeah, I hope you listen to what I have to say. And
thank you. Address the council on this issue, so please come forward.
Hi, I'm Becky Johnson. We know why these people are here and why they're afraid that they're going to become homeless soon. Because you abandoned them. You abandoned them with the Deanza Senior Citizen Home Park, when you abandoned rent control, when you ran Hightail away from MHC and gave up on those people. You abandoned those leases that people had signed that were irrevocable in perpetuity, leaving the people of Clearview Court the only option they have is to sue you. And they do have a good case because you signed rent control agreements with half of these residents. And not only have you abandoned the tenants at Deanza and Clearview and abandoned rent control, which was their only protection against the kind of greed that we see, the unchecked greed that you're allowing to happen. But this also means that there's just less housing that people can live in. And that's your duty. I'm sorry. It's your duty to make sure that there's housing for everyone who lives here. Housing at a price that people can afford to have. And you failed miserably on that. You have provided no checks and balances for these kinds of rents that just go up through the ceiling so that people just can't live here anymore. Oh, but you're all nicely housed, aren't you? You're going to go home and into your nice, safe homes. You're not going to be evicted. Your rent's not going to be tripled. It just turns my stomach what this council has done with this sellout. The sellout. And I understand that San Jose also was facing the same situation with the exact same greedy property owner, MHC, and they're saying they won their lawsuit. They won their lawsuit against MHC. You abandoned it. And now, I mean, what is the quality and character of this community? Where are these people going to go? You know what's going to happen if they do lose their homes, and many of them will. You won't be there for them when they're on the street either, because we know how you deal with people who are on the street. You put little signs up to make sure that they don't park their cars from midnight to 6 a.m. That's their way of cleaning up this community. You just clean this community up from the undesirables or the poor, because that's who you serve.
Thank you very much. Is there anybody else who wants to speak to the council on this item? All right, we thank you.
for coming to council meeting. We're going to return to our regular agenda, published agenda for the afternoon session.
Return without a word, I might add. That was Mayor Scott Kennedy responding or not responding to the many, many people that spoke, though it has to be acknowledged in the interests of full disclosure that, in fact, the council did reject the Corbett-Swenson lease and looked for a two-month delay, while instead of simply asserting that rent control would continue as they had promised in 92, or giving us some clear understanding of why that should not be the case, they are doing some stalling tactics, and hopefully during that time, Clearview Court will acquire more power and more connections in the community so they can actually challenge this gutting of rent control, because that's only rent control for trailers, yes, but we need rent control generally in this community. We need the right of everyone to some kind of housing in some way or somehow, and we don't have that. We need to get that. Let's go back now to an earlier conversation from November, which I began to play several hours ago with Pastor Dennis Adams of the Potter's Hand. He was serving two meals weekly, one on the street and one several hours before at Loudoun Nelson Center on Sunday. This is actually his last meal. It's going to be served today because Loudoun Nelson Center, he tells me, is closing down on Sundays. Another of Dick Wilson's budget-cutting measures. Kind of slash-from-the-bottom approach. You don't go after the CEOs. You cut the benefits of the people who need them the most.
Whatever is going to happen, I obviously is going to happen, but what are we going to do with the amount of people that are being helped by at least the three organizations that were represented there? And, you know, so we have to find that out yet.
They're intending, you think, to establish new laws to close down food distribution on the mall.
Yeah, that's what I would say it's going to end up.
Who announced that, you know?
As I said earlier, it was a consensus. It was like, this is, you know, we're probably going to, you know, put this into a council meeting, and then we are going to stop the distribution of food down there because of the health problem and the, I guess some people have gotten sick. I don't know who or what happened there. But
did they cite any stats about food, people getting sick?
They said just a couple. This is like a couple people being sick, you know. I mean, it was a very generalized statements of meeting, and I wasn't there to dig. I was there to listen, to give my input on how well it's been for the Potter's Hand down there and the other units of people that have gone down and fed throughout the time on the other days. But as far as the actual stats or, you know, we got any paper description or anything like that, none of that was given. So,
I had to take about half an hour.
Yeah, it was a little bit, about 40-minute meeting. Actually.
How many people were there?
Yes, I would estimate a council table full. So you're looking, if I've done enough board meetings in my life to tell you there was probably 12.
So this was not in city council chambers. This was
No, sir. I went to the city council chambers because I thought that that's what it was going to be.
City manager's conference room or something?
Yes, exactly. Off the mayor's office, yeah.
And the mayor?
No, the mayor was not there.
There was a council member. The
council member was represented, yes.
I don't know which one that was.
I'm sorry. He was a dark-complected, dark brown hair, about 5'7", 5'8".
Martin Bernal, the assistant city manager, perhaps.
It could have been. I don't want to say the name, because I don't remember. It was over a month ago, and I wasn't there to collect names, you know, just to collect information and see what was happening.
Is this going
to
discourage you from feeding again downtown?
No. We're looking at all sorts of opportunities, buildings, and everything right now. 5 minutes. Okay.
Well, we're going to thank you.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
I am anyway.
Yeah. You going to have a dinner with us?
I'm going to try. We're talking to Scott Rhodes. Scott, last I heard, after playing this long tape about Jerry Henry's being excluded again from, or you being actually, escorted out.
Me and Jerry.
Bridge here is perhaps useful. Scott Rhodes, who I spoke to immediately after I spoke to Pastor Dennis Adams, is also a food server. He and Jerry Henry provide a lot of food to people downtown. However, he's famous for, he and Jerry are famous for the kind of persecution that they have suffered out of the Rancho Del Mar Shopping Center. And actually, an interesting and very encouraging decision by the U.S. District Court for the 9th District. Judge Ware responded. Henry has been arrested twice on a $100,000 bail for the so-called crime of trespass with intent to interfere with a business, a kind of catch-all statute used by some police and merchants to harass people, not even in businesses, but on the public sidewalks outside of businesses, claiming that their speech there, their behavior, interferes with business. But the huge amount of the bail involved, $100,000 on two occasions for a peaceful, nonviolent activist, completely unreported, of course, in the mainstream media, has been remarkable. And Henry was taken through, dragged through a trial lasting a number of years and appeals. He was, the Supreme Court of the United, not the United States, but the California Supreme Court denied his or refused to hear his case. He took it to federal court and he got a favorable response for his motion. He got the court to issue, let's see if I can read this, give you specifics. Well, but the summary is, Jerry is a mentally disabled man, disabled in the sense that he's, stress has an effect on him that makes him unable to sleep. He doesn't get excited and start screaming. He just can't think clearly, can't read. It has these effects on him, which are documented. He gets disability. And the kinds of attacks he was subjected to outside the Rancho Del Mar Shopping Center by First Alarm Security, sheriff's deputies, the management of the various businesses. At one time it was Gottschalk's before it went out of business. More recently, Sergeant Amy Christie has been involved. Well, on the one hand, she's getting her picture in the Good Times as a new gay couple that has been able to get married. And my congratulations to any gay couple that gets married. That's fine. She's also apparently destroying the civil liberties of people through the sheriff's department, particularly people who are below her, beneath her in class, like Mr. Henry, whom she's filing these malicious police reports on. I've talked about this in the air before, in which he went into Rancho Del Mar Shopping Center's coffee roasting company, apparently after many years of being barred from there with the understanding he could go back in again. They didn't like him out front because he had been talking to young people about their rights, and they found that to be onerous. And when the police came and said, move along, they said, no, these are public spaces. We can stay here, so provided we don't interfere or block people. We have a right to be here. And that created a situation, apparently, where they began harassing Jerry in these various businesses and taking him to court and so forth. But they invited him back in. He went in for a cup of coffee, and he got further harassment, and as did Scott Rose. And we're going to hear some more about this now. But again, let me just give you the latest update. The latest update is, and this was actually signed February 12th, it directs the State Attorney General, Lockyer, to file with the court and serve back on Jerry Henry within 60 days an answer to all his concerns showing cause why his writ of habeas corpus should not be granted. That is to say, a desire to go into federal court with the issues that essentially have been dismissed in state court, that there's somehow justification for holding a man in jail, dragging him through years of trial, banning him from property for engaging in First Amendment activity on the sidewalk outside of a shopping center because you have the power to do so. And it looks, Attorney Kate Wells, who talked to me about this and actually let me have a copy of this granted petition, was very enthusiastic, felt that this was quite a turn of events. And up for examination will be the fact that there was insufficient evidence to support his conviction under this California Penal Code 602-1A, which is the trespass with intent to interfere with a business in violation of due process. The condition that he stay away from the Rancho Del Mar Shopping Center violates his First Amendment rights. The court's increase in bail to prevent the petitioner from being released to $100,000 violated his Fourth and Eighth Amendment rights two times. The trial court's failure to recuse itself violated petitioner's rights to due process and fair trial. And in this situation, Judge Artichoke Hart Attic, Robert Attic, I'm sorry, Richard, what's his first name? Anyway, Attic is the last name. He was the judge who on the appeals court here, the local appeals court, but his wife, Charlene Attic, was the attorney for one of the petitioners, was involved.